you want to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9. I'm still wherever daylight savings time was yesterday. I'm still back there somewhere, so we'll try to keep it short today. We'll try to be out of here by 1 o'clock anyway or 2. Yeah, only one person laughed. Everybody else looks frightened. But, yeah, the old one. Yeah. I think Scott set the clock forward again. All right, Acts chapter 9. Here we're dealing with Paul. He was Saul, and he gets saved on the road to Damascus, and God uses him to write, I believe, 14 books of our New Testament. And Saul was a wicked man going against God, and he was persecuting God's people, a murderer of Christians. As a matter of fact, you back up a few chapters, Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was preaching against Israel, preaching to Israel that they had stoned the prophets and rejected Jesus Christ, and he went on down the line to everything Israel had done against God, and Paul was there, Saul was there, and he allowed them to stone Stephen to death. He was against God. But God has a way of turning people around, amen? And I thank God for that, because, you know, it wasn't biggest part of my life. I was hell-bound, and I'd have split hell wide open, and God would have been right to send me there, and I'm glad that he doesn't have to do that now because of his son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for the blood of Christ, for salvation, for eternal security, and for a Bible. We'll begin reading in verse 1, but let's pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love you and thank you for this book. I ask for your blessing on the service today. Bless the message. And Lord, help us. We showed up here today counting on you, Lord, trusting in you to give us something to help us through not just the day, but through the week. And help us to be more like you, Lord. We're a mess without you. And Lord, just give us a heart for you and your word, a heart for lost souls, and a heart to submit to you, Lord. And again, Lord, bless those folks that couldn't make it. And, you know, there are a lot of folks, Lord, you know, that are having physical problems right now. And Lord, bless them spiritually, physically, financially, whatever it may be, Lord. And we know you can take care of all that. And again, Lord, bless the message and bless those folks that are here with something special. Something special from you, Lord. Get me out of the way and use this message for your honor and your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter number 9 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now here we are again looking at Saul, this wicked man. He was a spiritual leader, a religious leader, if you will, of the Jews, and a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he had all the traditions of man he was keeping. But he was going against God. And the first thing I want to notice is, in verse number 1, it says, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He was rebellious. God's creation, and this curse of sin, God's creation is rebelling against him. You can see it around the world, and you can see it in religion. Saul here, was rebelling against God Almighty and his people. Revelation says we were made for God's pleasure. And here Saul was, for his own pleasure, in rebellion against God, doing what he wanted to do, the things he wanted to do, the way he wanted to do them. He was rebellious. In verse number 2, it says he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. He was religious. He was rebellious, and he was religious. And you know, the world's got a strange view of religion. The world, when you mention religion, I've had people say sometimes, you know, I know you're very religious. And I said, well, I'm not really religious. I'm saved. I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'm not very religious. That word religion's a misunderstood word. And that, you know, the world thinks of religion, they think of anything that's called religion is somehow connected to what they call Christianity, or what we call Christianity. And what they call Christianity today is, I'll tell you, it could be about anything. But it's not religion. Religion doesn't save you. True religion, undefiled, God talks about in the Bible, is taking care of the widows and the orphans. He has to identify and define true religion, because man-made religion is a mess. Man-made religion, we talked about this in Sunday school, it's about power, it's about control, it's about money. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Jesus Christ not only made me free from my sin debt and the coming judgment, he made me free from religion. I'm not bound by religion. I don't have to go to any man. I don't have to go to any man and have him flip his collar around backwards and me tell him my sins. I don't have to do that. I don't have to go to any church and put any money in any plate to get my way to buy my way to heaven. I don't have to do any of that. Peter and them said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. It's not about silver and gold. You know what Jesus Christ said when they were asking him, they were trying to trip him up like they could trick God, right? They're always trying to trip him up. They're always trying to get one over on the Lord. And that's what the world thinks they're doing. That's what the devil thinks he's doing. I've read the end of the book. The devil's not getting one over on the Lord. But they come to the Lord and they said, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? You're talking about taxes. You know what he said? Well, he didn't say, evade the IRS, hide food in the mountains, and go disappear. He flipped that coin to him and said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's. God doesn't care about money. He cares about you. He cares about me. He cares about us. He cares about souls. Now, he uses money. We use money. He understands we use money to get through this life, but he doesn't care about money. He said, render unto Caesar's things which are Caesar's. Do you know what he's telling them? If man makes a rule and it's not against the Bible, go with the rule. Pay your taxes. Amen? I don't like it either. Amen? I really don't. Not only do I not like the big chunk they take, I don't like what they do with it. But you know what the Lord said? Render unto Caesar's the things that are Caesar's. Most of that money belongs to the devil, and he's used the most of it. Amen? But God's not worried about that. God's worried about spiritual things. And, Saul here in his rebellion and his religion, he was all cleaned up, where you would look at him and you'd think, that guy's got it together. That guy would make the Pope look like a mess. I mean, that Pope put that white clothes on and that funny hat and all that stuff, you know, and people look at him and think, man, that guy's, he looks clean. But you know what Jesus Christ said to them? Those religious crowd, that religious crowd? He said they were dead in their trespasses, and he said there were whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. He said they were children of the devil. And there's only one way to get around being a child of the devil. This world, in its religious thought process, and it's been the whole idea has been tainted by CNN and Fox News and the educational system, because people don't read the Bible. They don't understand what the Bible really says. They think, this whole thing that if you've got money, you're right with God. Well, Jesus Christ said the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, and the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. The disciples didn't have anything. They took what they had, a coat, they had a script, they had a few things they carried with them. They didn't have anything. They have the things of this world. Because God's not concerned with the things of this world. He's concerned with souls. But here, this religious crowd, they want you to believe that if you go through this certain rituals and go through these certain traditions, you might be all right. And Jesus Christ says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus Christ says, and the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things I've written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God." It says you can know you're going to heaven. And 2/3 of the religious, so-called religious leaders out there won't tell you that. Because if they tell you that, then you don't have to deal with them anymore. You don't have to go to them. You don't have to bow down to them. You don't have to give your money to them. You don't have to worship them. And that's what they want. Because the devil's running most of the systems of religion in this world. Matter of fact, I've said it before, I'll say it again. He's running most of the churches. Because of this greed. The love of money is the root of all evil. And there's not a sin to have money, but it's a sin to let your money have you. Amen. That stuff becomes an idol. It becomes a god. And a lot of times people will... I've had people tell me over and over and over again, "Sunday's my day. I work hard all week, and Sunday's my day. I just want to sleep in," which I'll define that for you. "I'm going to have a hangover Sunday morning. I ain't getting up to go to church early." That's what they mean. They won't say that, but that's usually what they mean. "Sunday's my day. Sunday's my day to try to survive what I did Saturday night." Amen. That's what they usually mean. Amen. Amen. Hey, I wasn't saved when I was born. I know what's going on in this world. Amen. I got saved later. I might be ignorant of some things, but I'm not ignorant of what people are telling me when they're telling me that, you know. "Sunday's my day." Well, you know, the Lord don't see it that way. It's the first day of the week. It's the day He rose from the grave, and it's the day we should dedicate to Him. But you know what? It's not just Sunday. Every day should be dedicated to the Lord. Every day. The very breath you have, the very fact that your lungs are able to use that air is because God is blessing you with it. But here Paul was rebellious, Paul was religious, and like I said, the world says, when they say religion, they just think, man, it's got to be right because it's got the word religion on it. It's got religious on it. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And look, I believe the book. I've got people in here that I believe are saved, that love the Lord, that believe the book. But if you're not reading your Bible and you're not going by what it says, you're in some kind of religion. You're taking on these religious beliefs that the world's given you. And the world just wants you to believe a certain way, and it's against God. And Paul was doing that. Saul was doing that. He was rebellious. He was religious. 3-5, it says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.'" He was religious. He was rebellious, but he realized something. He realized he was going the wrong direction. Isn't that something? And if you looked at Paul, you looked at Saul, you say, this guy is always in the synagogue. He's always talking about the law. He's always talking about God. He's always doing what looks right on the outside. But then again, he was a hypocrite, and he was a whited sepulcher full of dead men's bones. He was a child of the devil. And when God shined that light of truth on him, he realized that. He's on his face on the road to Damascus, and he says, "Lord." He realized he was going the wrong direction. Look at verse 6. "And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?'" You know what he did? He repented. He turned from going against God to going with God. You saying Paul never sinned again? No, I'm saying Paul realized he was going the wrong direction. He turned to God and said, "I'm putting my faith and confidence in you." Paul said after he was saved and he was in the ministry, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He said he was the chiefest of sinners after salvation. Because Paul knew that if anything good come through his life, it was because of the Lord. And Paul knew that his biggest enemy wasn't usually the devil, it was usually his flesh. Amen. The devil gets much more credit than he deserves. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, look, we don't want to challenge the devil, only God can take care of the devil. But I'm telling you this, the flesh is a bigger problem than the devil is. I mean, the devil might try to influence you, but you make that decision. God's got to vote, you got to vote. The devil's got to vote, God's got to vote, you make the determining vote. It's not like our elections, your vote actually counts. Amen. And I don't care if you're voting red or blue, it doesn't really matter anymore. I'm voting for Jesus. Come back soon, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But I'm telling you, you make the decision, ultimately. It's ultimately us. Paul was rebellious, he was religious, he realized some things, he repented, and he was redirected. The last part of verse 6 says, "Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." He was redirected. He started out going against the Lord. Then he said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And he started going with the Lord. He started listening to God. You wonder why this world is in the toilet? You wonder why this world's like a dumpster fire kicked over? It's because people are going against God. The reason this nation was blessed and the reason this nation still exists, I believe, is because the men and women that moved over here to start with, even though a lot of them probably weren't saved and probably didn't, you know, understand a lot of Bible, they believed this book. And they believe that a nation founded on this book would stand. And now we got people that says, get rid of the book, get rid of the Lord, get rid of the truth. You know why? Because they want religion. They want to be worshipped. That's what the devil wants. He wants to be worshipped. And he's setting up his system now. And he's got a lot of churches thinking, we're bringing in some kind of a kingdom, then God's just going to be so happy that he's going to come sit on the throne. Well, no. The devil's going to sit on the throne, and God's going to come back and take that throne from him. Because we're making a mess of things down here. And it's getting worse and worse instead of better and better. Evolution and science, falsely so-called, they try to tell you, well, things are getting better and better. Well, you must not have a TV or radio or YouTube because things are a mess. Amen? Things are a mess. This is getting crazier and crazier. If you've got a family, I mean, the best thing you could do is figure out what's in that book and try to live by it. He was redirected. He started out going against God. He was listening to and obeying God when that light hit him. That light hit him, he just didn't ignore it. He went with it. Verse 17 through 19, we'll jump down there. It says, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus." He was redirected and he received something. He received a new beginning. You know what that new beginning did? Look at verse 17. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul." He's saved now. So now he's Brother Saul. "The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." You know what he got? A new destination. One of the most important verses in this Bible after salvation is Ephesians 4:30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You call on Jesus Christ, trust in him as your Lord and Savior, trust in his payment, his blood atonement for your sin debt. You're saved and you're sealed. You're going to heaven. That Bible says he moves into you, you're in him, and he's at the right hand of God the Father. You can't get any more saved than that. Paul received a new beginning, and that new beginning gave him a new destination. I thank God for that new destination. Verse 18, it says, "And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." He got a new vision. You know what he didn't see anymore? He didn't see things the way he'd saw him before. He didn't see things the way the world seen him. When you get saved and you read that Bible, God lets you see things his way. Sometimes that's pretty tough. Amen. I mean, you start looking around and you realize this world's going to keep getting worse until the Lord fixes it. You start seeing sin his way. I remember asking, Lord, let me see sin the way you see it. I didn't know he was going to start picking on mine first. Amen. Amen. Because that's what he'll do. He'll show you yours. And he'll make you feel about that tall. And then he'll start making you hate sin like he hates sin. But you got to start hating your own first. It's easy to hate everybody else. It's easy to look at somebody else and say, look what they're doing wrong. They shouldn't be doing that. The Lord's not going to be happy with that. And the Lord's like, yeah, what about you? What about you? What about the fact that you're so proud that you think you're right and everybody else is wrong? I mean, he'll work you over, amen? What about the fact that you forgot how you treated me yesterday, amen? But he'll give you a new view. He'll give you a new vision. You're supposed to trust Jesus Christ and see things the way God sees them. And when you see things the way God sees them, you realize the world's going the wrong direction. And you know, a lot of times in a lot of churches, I'm not picking on, there's some good churches out there, praise God, but there are a lot of churches out there that just want to turn into the world. I mean, there's messes going on in churches God saved me out of. I don't want to go back to that stuff. Hey, you know what? I knew who was running that stuff when I was in it. I knew it wasn't God. And I can tell you now, when I listen to some of that junk they play at Walmart even, I can tell you what, that's not God's music. Some of that stuff is wicked. Amen. To bring that in here and call it godly would be to me to deceive you and to lie to you. I mean, one of these days, if you're saved, you're going to be in heaven. You're going to be singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And you're going to have something going on in you that you could not even explain this side of heaven. The best day you ever had on this earth will never compare to what's going to happen later. But I mean, we can't change the church to match the world. God wants us to have a different vision. Paul had a different vision. When he got saved on the road to Damascus, his whole vision changed. He never saw things the same again. You know the most important thing he never saw, right? The same again? He never saw himself the same. Paul wasn't running around before he got saved saying, oh, wretched man that I am. The Holy Spirit of God moved into him and said, look, Paul, you're wrong here. You're wrong here. You got a pride issue. I'm going to work you over. I'm going to try to get you to look more like me if you just follow this path with me. And Saul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said he was the chiefest of sinners after he was saved because God showed him where he was wrong. You know what people don't want to hear? They don't want to hear where they're wrong. But you know what's good to hear? When you're wrong. I mean, my little grandson, he's the only person in their house that can get those things out of the plug-ins. Those little childproof things. He's the only one that can get them out. And I know why now, because he spits on them, puts them back in there, and lubricates them. But you know what he needs to hear? You're wrong, don't do that. Because eventually, amen, eventually. And what is it with forks? I mean, he knows where a fork goes. He don't miss a meal. But I mean, immediately he wants to switch out those protective things. I mean, you know what you need? You got to tell him you're wrong. Don't do that. You know what we spend most of our time listening to from the Lord? Hey, you're wrong. Don't do that. And people like, I'd just soon live like the world and forget about it. I don't want to be right with God. Well, pray, read your Bible, and just walk with God. Amen. Amen. I'm not worried when someone has a family that's trying to follow the Bible, but I am fearful for people my grandson's age and stuff with the shape this world's in. If the Lord doesn't call us out of here and this thing keeps getting worse, the thought of him living a life out of church without a Bible would be scary. I'm thankful, and I hope and pray. I pray for his dad that his dad will keep doing the right thing and bringing him to church. I know they're sick today. Praise the Lord. The Lord willing, they'll be back. But this world is a scary place. And honestly, I don't want any of my kids or my grandkids, I don't want anybody's kids to go through some of the stuff I've been through. Amen. Amen. I wish I'd listened to the Lord a lot sooner. But Paul got it. He got it. He got a new destination. He got a new vision. Look at verse 19 again. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. You know what he got? He got new people. He's hanging out with God's people now. That's a great place to be. I love coming to church because of that. I like going out in the world. I like talking to people. I like people, man. I like talking to people. I like talking about the Lord. Every time I run into somebody, they want to talk about the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I like being around God's people. I do. And we can be challenging once in a while, amen? Because we're people. But Paul got new people. And that's an important thing. And the Bible tells us to forsake not to assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and much more as you see the day approaching. The more wicked this world gets, the more we need to be in church, the more we need each other, the more we need that Bible, the more we need the Lord, the more we need to realize we need to count on Him and trust in Him and walk with Him. But Paul received a new beginning. He received something else too. Let's check this out in verse number 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that He is the Son of God. He received a new purpose. I don't know how many times I've thought it, and I don't know how many times I've had people say, what's the point? I'm trying to find out the meaning of life. Paul found out the meaning of life on the road to Damascus. You know what he got? He got a new ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 18, it says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul had the ministry of reconciliation. That word reconcile means to bring something back together. And see, here we go. We got the world, and we got the religious system set up where people, the devil's got people thinking that everybody's God's child. And the truth is, if you're lost, you're on your way to hell, and you're a child of the devil, and the devil wants you to think you're all right. He wants this world to think it's all right. But the problem is, the Bible says in Isaiah that your sins and iniquities have separated you from God. And the only way to be reconciled with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So here Saul is imprisoning, persecuting, and murdering Christians. And God shines the light of truth on him. He realizes he's going the wrong way. He repents. He's redirected. He receives this new beginning. And he receives purpose. I mean, if you think about it, what do you really want? Purpose. And we can think of a lot of little purposes. I'm a husband. My purpose is to take care of my wife and to try to supply for her needs. Right? When we raised kids, our purpose was to try to supply for the home and physically and monetarily, spiritually. But ultimately, when it's down to the end, when you're drawing your last breath, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. God has given you and me a chance to trust Christ as Lord and Savior and to be used for something eternal. You know, we look around this world, we've got all these rich folks. And I don't have anything, you know, praise the Lord. If they got money and they're doing something with it, praise the Lord, whatever. I don't care one way or the other. I'd rather have the Lord. If they don't have the Lord there, they don't have anything, really. But you look around this world and they're trying to figure out purpose. You guys ever heard of transhumanism? I'm not talking about the trans people that don't know how to dress. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about transhumanism. You know what they're trying to do? And Elon Musk is in this with them. They're all in this. So, well, you know what they want to do? They want to download their brain into a computer so they can live forever. You know what God's going to do? He's going to give them a big power failure right after they get downloaded. Amen. He's going to unhook the power line. Clip. But, I mean, that doesn't even make sense because your brain is not eternal. I mean, your brain's connected to your soul and all that, but when you leave this body, you've got a soul that's either going to heaven or going to hell. And if they could download everything into that computer, and they think like they think, and they act like they act, and they can do whatever they want to do, but when they die, their soul's either going to heaven or hell. And that computer's just going to be a bunch of mush. You know what? If I did that, one of my kids would hit the delete button. Beep. You know what I mean? Or I'd do it, because I'm an idiot sometimes on computers, amen? Anybody else have that problem? I wish they'd quit coming out with new phones, because I don't even know what's going on with the old one yet, amen? But they want to download themselves. They think that they're their mind. You know why? Because they worship their mind. If you're sitting in church today, you're smarter than they are, as far as I'm concerned. I don't care if they got 15 college degrees. Amen. If they're not and you are, I think you're smarter than they are. But they think they're smart. You know why? Because somehow they managed to go and get a piece of paper. And they walked across the stage. And somebody that they thought was important handed them this piece of paper. And that paper became their God. And now they worship their mind. They want to put their mind inside a computer. And they want to live forever. They think they can outdo God. They think they can live forever by putting their mind in a computer. You're right. If a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. That's what the Bible says. And these people are just coming up with ways to try to use you and I as slaves because they think they're better than you. They think they're smarter than you. Matter of fact, they could care less about you or your soul. They just want to try to live forever. I don't need a computer. I'm going to live forever because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. These things are written you to believe in the name of the Son of God. You may know that you have eternal life and you can believe in the name of the Son of God. You can know you're going to heaven. You can know you're going to live forever. Elon Musk with all his billions of dollars. Bill Gates with all his billions of dollars. Warren Buffett with all his billions of dollars. Biden and Trump with all the money they've got or whatever. They couldn't buy 1 second in heaven. And if they knew how Dell support worked, they wouldn't even want to be in a computer. It'd be on hold for a long time, amen? But man's trying to find purpose. And God's given us purpose. We were created for His purpose. We were created for His pleasure. And ultimately, one of these days, when it comes down to drawing your last breath, what really matters is what you did for Jesus Christ. That's what really matters. And unfortunately, most people at their last breath will probably be trapped into what they wasted on the devil in the flesh. I mean, you can worship your brain, you can worship money, you can worship your car, you can worship your house, you can worship whatever you want to worship, but you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. I've heard stories of these rich folks that got buried in their cars and all this stuff, you know, get a Bentley or whatever and get buried in it. And can you imagine the stuff that got stole off that before they got covered up? They probably started an eBay auction before the body was, you know what I mean? But you can't take stuff with you. But God set it up so you can have some things eternally. He said you can have rewards in heaven for trusting Him and calling on Him and submitting to Him. I tried it both ways. I like living for God. I still try it both ways, to be honest with you, because I got this flesh. But one of these days, the Lord's going to give me a new body.
Amen.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Yep.
We're getting out of here. Amen. If you're here today and you've been rebellious, or maybe you've been religious, maybe you've realized that you're going the wrong direction, maybe you ought to just repent and trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I don't care if you've been in church for 20 years. If you're not saved, you're not going to make it to heaven. I'm your pastor, and I love you. I don't want to stand at the great white throne of judgment and see somebody that showed up in church every week cast in the lake of fire because they were religious. And I'm certainly going to do the best I can that if that happens, it won't be because I didn't tell you the truth. Amen? But I also want to tell you this. If you want purpose, you're going to find it inside this book. You're going to find it by living for this book, living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and going against the flow of the world. Amen? Dead fish can go with the flow, but it takes some energy to go against the flow. You realize what Paul had to do when he got saved? He was part of the religious clique. I mean, he was the man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. When he got saved, he's running around preaching about Jesus Christ. They're telling him off. They're wanting to stone him to death. They're wanting to get rid of him. They're wanting to chop his head off. They're telling him stuff like, "Much learning has made thee mad. You've lost your mind, Paul. You're going with God instead of us." You ever told anybody, ever had anybody want you to do something against the Lord and you tell them no and they look at you like there's something wrong with you? Say, "No, I've been down that road. Don't want to go back down there." Amen? And they're like, "Well, you're a freak. whatever, I'm on the Lord's side, I'm staying on the Lord's side. But Paul had to go against that the rest of his ministry. Everybody knew he used to be a Pharisee. Everybody knew that he was one of the religious elite. And he turned from religion and turned to the truth and walked the walk. And God used that murder of Christians like he used nobody else in the New Testament outside of Jesus Christ. 14 books of that New Testament, I believe, were written by Paul. 13 for sure, and I'm about 99% sure Hebrews. But Hebrews was written to the Jews. Paul wrote it to the Jews. It might cost you something to live for the Lord, but it costs a lot more to go against him. Paul was rebellious and religious, but he repented and got right, and he realized that being right with God's worth it. Because what it all boils down to is when Paul drew his last breath, he was ready to go. Will you be? Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this Bible. Thank you for the opportunity to read it, and teach it, and preach it, and study it. Lord, help us. We need you. We need your guidance. Our families need you, Lord. Our church needs you. Without you, this is just playing games and not worth it. But Lord, if you'll show up and deal with us every time we show up, show us where we're wrong, encourage us where we're right, and help us to be more like you. And Lord, if anybody hears this message and they're lost and on their way to hell, that they'd see the need to call on Christ before it's too late. It's not about religion. It's about repentance, turning to you and trusting you and calling on you. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we know you died, was buried, and rose again. And we can be free by calling on Christ, trusting him as our Lord and Savior. And we can live in the liberty of this book by staying on your side and doing right by you. Give us a heart to do so. Keep us through the week. Bless all these folks and their families. Bless those kids, that little girl that showed up and visited today, and the little Harper downstairs, and whatever kids that couldn't make it, Lord, today for sickness and other reasons, Lord, that you bring them back. And just bless them and protect them. We love you and thank you and ask for your blessing on everything that's done. I have a desire to live for you, Lord. Help us to all have that desire and keep it every day. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.